speak to the glory of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. During the 1990s, my sister worked in London as a picture framer, and I got to know something about this interesting art. I say art because a good frame can make all the difference to a picture or image. The group of framers my sister worked with had a bit of a punk attitude when it came to framing. While their frames could be quite traditional, they also really enjoyed using found wood or interesting colors or textures. Yet no matter how avant-garde their framing was, one fact remained. The image was framed, that is, positioned in a specific border. The frame refocused the eye and drew the viewer into an encounter with what was regarded. At first glance, the image of the Christ of Mary Knoll, which you received with the service booklet today, also seems to be partly framed. But the wooden slats at the side and bottom are actually part of a fence. So the Christ figure regards us from the position of a prisoner, looking out at us while framed by wood and barbed wire. Christ is located, framed, if you like, with the refugee, prisoner, those on the margins. As we enter today's challenging and difficult gospel reading, we might want to ask what pastoral frame the Pharisees are applying to a point of law. The question they pose is not an idle one, of course. They seek to catch out the person responding. Think of a less rowdy but more dangerous Prime Minister's question time. Jesus knew that the Pharisees' framing mechanism was designed test and expose him. He knew that any question from them would be listened to attentively by the disciples and by the man who followed him. The bystanders would be ear-wigging. The question comes in the context of the Pharisees' concern about Jesus' teaching and preaching his acts of healing and power. So this is not simply a question about divorce, which Mosaic law did not prevent, and Jesus knew this. In this context, it is doubtful that the Pharisees were concerned with the pastoral issues around divorce. It is more likely that they simply wanted to see if Jesus would give the correct technical response. And they knew that there was no good answer to the question. Jesus' response is to reframe the conversation, focusing instead on the positive aspects of marriage. Our context differs from 2nd century Palestine. We see divorce through a particular lens, which is set by our modern Western context. Jesus attends to his context, one in which a woman can be left penniless, homeless, or worse, cut off from family outside the kinship networks that afforded status and dignity. Jesus wishes to protect that dignity, to honor the spouse made in the image of God, not a chattel, and not something to be set aside on a whim. From the context of Jesus' other interactions with people in the Bible, it is hard to believe that he would ever condone a social contract in which there was abuse or deep unhappiness. Jesus reframes the narrative, focusing on those who might be marginalized. The Jesus who understands human love, angered by social isolation and stigma. The one we have met in the Gospels is the one who stands. on to draw the attention of his disciples and the crowd to the little children. They also were powerless, of little economic value, and yet Jesus places them for the second time in just a few weeks in the middle of the people as specially blessed by God. In focusing on those who have little power, like the children, we are reframed back to the reality that throughout the gospel, Jesus continually positions himself with those who are vulnerable, those on the margins. One commentator describes Mark's gospel account as a story of the lonely places. It begins in the wilderness, and it ends on the cross. At both times, Jesus is outside the city walls, outside society, on the margins. Perhaps we need to do an act of reframing. Perhaps we need to use God's frame when we encounter those who feel on the margins. We could, of course, at this point, discuss those who are poor, refugees, prisoners, downtrodden. But perhaps today, we could look a little closer and think more about those who are on the margins in our society and yet close to us. Because being divorced, being unmarried, not having children, not being able to be fully open about sexuality for fear of rejection can place any of us on margins at any one time or another. We know that God desires for us to be in relationship with each other and to have a relationship with him. The relationships that we have will be varied with partners, with close family, with extended family, with friends. These are all different places of encounter. So, while I will never be mom, I am auntie to my three nieces. And in the frame of that relationship, I see something of God's work in my life. Frames are one of the mechanisms that help us to decide, in some cases perhaps even to judge, who we think is in and who we think is out. Who do we relate to? Who do we understand? Who do we stand with in solidarity? Perhaps this week I could invite you to think about the frames you use. Who do you include in your frames? Is anyone excluded? Why? Perhaps spend some time with the image of the icon of the Christ and Mary doll. It is a good place to start examining.